I wonder if you can think of a time when you've put all your effort into something and then you've come back empty-handed with nothing to show for where you've been. Perhaps you've gone out with the intention of getting a birthday present or even Christmas presents, but you're not inspired with anything to buy, and you look around at other people with their shopping bags full, and you go home with your shopping bag empty. You may think, maybe if I'd have gone to Epsom instead of Kingston, I would have found the things that I wanted. Or maybe you spend 4 years of meticulous preparation. You travel across the other side of the world to try and win a Rugby World Cup. One of those two teams, though, even after battling all the way to the final, is going to go home with nothing. That may be just because the other team had better resources. But some teams go home with nothing because they've made tactical errors. Every single one of us, though, without exception, has made it, haven't we, to get to church this morning. But I wonder how we'll go home today. Some of us will go home unchanged. We might have had a nice, pleasant hour singing and praying and talking together. How will we go home today? We're going to look, as we said, at the story that Jesus told of where people had come, just like us, they'd made it to the building, they'd got there, and one of them went home in a right relationship with God, and the other one went home empty-handed. I saw a couple of very famous quotes from, quotes from famous musicians just this Friday, and I thought they interacted with the theme that we're going to look at today. So first of all, I saw this on the BBC website. God is using me to show off. So this person calls himself a Sunday service leader, as well as being a world-famous rapper and celebrity. And he's come out with that quote, which I thought was an interesting one as we look at what we're thinking about today in the Bible. And the other one is Chris Martin, lead singer of Coldplay. Any fans of Coldplay here? Yes, well done. I'm glad we got one. And he said, it seems to me that one thing that might help people have a better time is to put themselves in other people's shoes, like kids who have to leave Syria. So rather than judging from afar, we can think, I wonder what it's like there. Back to our story, though, there's a group of people who had broken away from the established religious community, and they came to see themselves as set apart for God's own purpose and for his glory. And as well as meeting together regularly and listening to talks and singing and praying, they had their own ways of doing things, and they added extra traditions to their faith with the aim of making sure they were ahead of other people. And this story that Jesus told is about one in particular who was a regular at worship. He was generous in giving money to the work of God. The other main character of the story was a tax collector, which in those times meant a hated and despised person who had a reputation for stealing money from his own people. The closest comparison I could think of is someone who stole thousands of pounds from the Grenfell Tower Relief Victims Fund. But I'm going to look at two questions this morning to kind of draw out the difference between them. And the first question I'm going to look at for the two characters is, how did they see themselves in comparison with others? And then secondly, we're going to look at how did they see themselves in comparison with God? So we'll start, first of all, with the first question, and we'll look at the Pharisee. The Pharisee compares himself favorably, doesn't he, with other people. He's realized that it's easy to find people that are worse than us. It's easy to use that to feel good about ourselves. We don't have to look far, do we, on telly or on social media or in the newspaper to find people behaving badly. And sometimes, as we see that, we have a little bit of glee, don't we? that other people's lives are messed up. It's easy to do the same in church, isn't it? We can glance sideways at that person who's got a character weakness or doesn't understand the real world or lacks people skills or makes wrong judgments in situations. Jesus here is calling out people who are standing tall by themselves, maybe at the front of the church and looking down. The first man in the story feels good about himself. Thank you that I'm not like those robbers, those evildoers, those adulterers over there. Glad I'm not like them. He's exalting or affirming himself. I'm better than them, and therefore I'm okay. And then secondly, the tax collector. What does he see himself as compared to others? Well, he compares himself to nobody. He's chosen to stand at a distance away from the other people because there's no one else in the room that matters. The tax collector is effectively comparing himself to God. He's just standing before a perfect, blazing, white God, to Jesus, who takes the highest honour and the highest praise, to whom all blessing and honour and power belong. No wonder he couldn't even look up to heaven. The thing is, at the point when you compare yourself to God, you might as well be someone who's stolen that money from the Grenfell Towers victims' fund from the poorest, neediest person in society, or someone that traffics people for personal gain and don't care about whether they die in the back of a lorry. Because when we compare ourselves with God, every one of us should realise that they haven't made the grade. So the answer to our first question is that the religious leader has exalted himself, puffed himself up, and compared himself with others, and the hated tax collector has just humbled himself. He's accepted who he is without looking at other people. And our second question then is how they saw themselves in comparison with God. And we can tell that by looking at how they interacted with God. What did they ask for from God? Well, the Pharisee asks for nothing. We can see in the first verse that Les read, he was already confident of his own righteousness. So why did he need to ask for anything? His prayer, do you remember it? It's barely even a prayer, was it? He's really just patting his own back and thanking himself. It's a bit like a man who goes into the doctor and he says, I wanted to let you know I'm not a smoker or a drinker. My health is great. My mental health is good. People love me. I'm eating healthily. I run 3 times a week. Not like those people in the waiting room. You can tell he's thinking, I'm better than others. Therefore, I feel okay. And therefore, God must think I'm okay. Therefore, God doesn't need to give me anything. It leaves him with nothing to ask for. And secondly, what does the tax collector ask for? So it says the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Or as the Message version of the Bible puts it in a way that maybe relates more closely to our culture, the tax man slumped in the shadows, his face in his hands, not daring to look up, and said, God, give mercy. So he knows he's got a debt before God of a dirty life that he can never begin to repay. And the good news of this story is that Jesus says yes to the tax collector's prayer. And he always says yes to the prayer for mercy if it's said sincerely. You see what these religious leaders were saying about themselves? Going without food to show a commitment to God, giving a tenth of all they earned. That might have been true, but the spirit of the prayer was wrong. Many of us might define prayer as a conversation between us and God. Is that about right as a definition? A few nods. If we take that as a definition, then he hasn't prayed at all, has he? Yes, the Pharisee was much less corrupt than the tax collector, but tragically he became proud. He became proud that he was like that. And he became proud of that to his own ruin. There's no sense of a humble dependence on God anymore. In contrast, the tax collector doesn't stand tall. He stood at a distance, accepting that because of the way he's lived his life, there's a huge gulf that his life choices have made between himself and God. And he's made no attempt to bridge that gulf himself by assessing what he's done. So he also prayed to God about himself, as well as the Pharisee, but the tax collector reached out to God for mercy. And as he did that, then God himself bridged that gulf. The taxman might have been seen to have small faith, but he sees through, doesn't he, to the merciful heart of God and casts himself on God's mercy. We're not saying to underestimate the extent of the wrongdoing committed, but he knew he needed forgiveness. And the paradox of this story is that the apparently good person is rejected by God in spite of his many pious acts. But the one who's done many evil things is the one who God accepts. As Jesus said, he went home justified, which means God found in his favor, or he was made right with God. And the Bible's full of stories like that, isn't it? It's funny, someone knocked on my door at 8:55 this morning, and they don't come to church, and they said, I don't feel I can come to church this morning because I'm angry. And I thought, if Jesus was there, he'd probably say, that little girl is closer to the kingdom of God than you are. We need to constantly evaluate where we are, don't we, in our relationship with God, in our own place. And we can be in the right place at one time and then congratulate ourselves on being in the right place, such that we get in the wrong place. For the Pharisee, it wasn't the confidence that was wrong, it was where he had that confidence. And as I prepared this, I was thinking a lot of that verse in Hebrews that says, don't throw away your confidence. We should be confident. But if we have the wrong source of confidence in ourselves, then that is misplaced. We have to keep our confidence fully in the God who justifies us. If you have a realization of your own weakness and the strength that God gives you in that, it's you who can go home today made right with God, rather than someone who's high up in the church but has the attitude of being better than others and not needing God. It's by our God that the weak in this church can say they are strong. We're going to pray together now. And it may be that it's this time that decides whether you go home right with God, or whether you go home with nothing. God of grace, we turn our face to you. We cannot hide. You don't have to go and stand by yourselves or put your face in your hands or beat your chest, but you can if you feel that's right for you. Because this is a chance to speak with God ourselves and not worry about anyone else around us.